This episode of On the Record is brought to you by Weisler Engineering. I'm Associate Editor Ben Thorpe. Welcome to On the Record. Here's an update on what's currently impacting the ag equipment industry. The U.S. House of Representatives introduced H.R. 5604, or the Agriculture Right to Repair Act, on September 20th. According to the bill's sponsors, the act defines what types of information OEMs are required to provide to make repair accessible. If the OEM does not have the digital or physical tools available, they are required to provide sufficient information to create the tools. Additionally, the bill gives the Federal Trade Commission the ability to enforce these requirements and make rules to assist in the implementation of these requirements. Eric Wareham, Senior Vice President of Government Relations for the North American Equipment Dealers Association, says the bill is very different from the state legislation we've seen and even previous federal legislation that's been introduced. He says this new bill introduces new concepts and specifically focuses on copyright and intellectual property.
When you look at the bill as a whole, my take on it is that it's, and this is pretty blunt, but it's a blatant expropriation of intellectual property masquerading as a right to repair bill.
He adds that there are several reasons this bill is different from a lot of the legislation we've seen on the state level. Unlike the state bills, H.R. 5604 doesn't address selling parts at dealer net cost. Instead, it focuses on making tools available to farmers.
What it does address is it does have a fair and reasonable, they say fair and reasonable, but in the bill is defined as no cost to farmers. So that's an interesting way to describe fair and reasonable for tools. And the interesting way they define tools is basically software and firmware, and also diagnostic tools. So that's a separate issue, somewhat similar to the state legislation. Where it also has common ground is that when it does talk about making available software, they use the same vernacular as disable or enable an electronic security lock or other security-related function of farm equipment. So that's a mandate they place on the OEM. To make that available. So that is consistent language that we've seen in all state legislation. There's big problems with that because we've always talked about what does that mean. It's very nebulous language, not a discernible standard, sounds pretty broad. And in this legislation at the federal level, because of probably the Legislative Council and the bill drafters, requirements that they dial in and be kind of more specific at the federal level, they spell that out. And instead of placing sideboards on that access to security locks and security-related functions, in Section 3C of the bill, what they do is completely remove all copyright protections to allow for circumvention of technology protection measures with the express purpose of reprogramming and modification of farm equipment. So they're really spelling out their intentions here. That's the interesting part about the legislation.
Wareham says currently under federal law, the Librarian of Congress has already said that specifically for farm equipment, you can circumvent TPMs for the purpose of repair, maintenance, and diagnosis. While proponents of right to repair have tried to push for expanding that access to allow for modification, Wareham says the Librarian of Congress has responded by specifically saying that modification does not fall within the fair use rule. He adds that this bill, in his own words, specifically attempts to make the hacking of farm equipment legal, and that is a drastic change from the current state of law today. This week's dealer on the move is King Ranch Ag and Turf. The Texas John Deere dealer has acquired Brookside Equipment, a John Deere dealership group with 9 stores throughout the Houston, Texas area. Now here's assistant editor McCain Vogel filling in for Noah Newman with the latest from the Technology Corner.
Thanks, Ben. McCain Vogel here, in for Noah Newman. I had the chance to attend the FURIA USA conference in Salinas, California last week, and I got to see lots of new ag technology on display. Here is Guillermo Guine, Chief Sustainability Officer at Solinftech, explaining some of the key features of the company's Solix Hunter.
We are showing here the Solix. This is the version that we are presenting here at FURIA. This robot is a target spraying robot plus a bug zapper. We call as a hunter. This is the functionality that we are using at night. During the day, we are doing the spray, the spot spray for weeds. And during the night, we are finding the bugs and try to kill them. This robot is fully autonomous, work by solar panels and batteries. We can run all the day and all the night with the batteries. You don't need to recharge it or to change the battery. It's fully autonomous, work by RTK antennas on top of it and some cameras to identify when we miss the information from RTK, the signal. And this robot actually was running outside during that summer, and we brought you here to show a real robot, not just a mocap or something different than that. We are showing the real one. We have on top here 4 solar panels, and those solar panels are providing the whole energy that we need. And at the bottom there, we have a battery, and this battery provides the energy for the night. We have 2 tanks on the robot. With that, we can cover close to 60 acres. Those tanks have 40 gallons of capacity. We did this season the proof of concept, and we are sold out right now for the next season. We'll have close to 100 running, some here in US and some in Brazil and Canada. We are split those units for next year.
According to the company, in just its first commercial year, American producers who invested in the Solix Hunter recorded a 95% reduction in the volume of herbicides applied. From the Technology Corner, I'm McCain Vogel. Back to you, Ben.
Thanks, McCain. In our last episode of On the Record, we reported comments New Holland brand president Carlo Lambro made in a recent Farm Progress Show interview about plans to remove Shortland brands from its dealer network. Those comments spurred much discussion on the Farm Equipment website. The day we published the episode, one commenter said, "It's clear you continue to fumble when it comes to how to treat your dealer network. You will never be successful in the USA with your current attitude." Seeming to address the need for short lines, another commenter said a few days later, "Maybe the other OEMs are more reliable, cheaper to purchase or run. The pertinent question is, do the customers trust the brand?" One viewer sought to answer that question by saying, "In my opinion, New Holland is not the leader in anything. If a dealer wants to have industry-leading products, they need to look at other brands like Kubota. I agree that the question is, do dealers and customers trust New Holland? All you can do is look at the past for answers, and today the answer is no." Another viewer tried to remind New Holland of its roots by saying, "Pretty sure New Holland was a short line for its first 100 years until its third buyout." Finally, one person summed up their thoughts in just 4 words. Good luck with that. Do you have an opinion about New Holland's plan specifically or brand purity in general? Let us know in the comments or email me at bthorpe@lessonermedia.com. We'd love to hear from you. The ongoing technician shortage could have an impact on dealers' parts and service revenue in 2023. The latest Farm Equipment Tech poll asked dealers what percentage of their annual parts and service revenue they estimate will be lost this year by the inability to fill open tech positions at their store. Just over 30% of respondents estimate 10 to 19% of their annual aftermarket revenue could be lost this year because of this issue. About 22% of dealers said 20 to 29% of revenue could be lost. Just 4.3% of dealers said they expected a loss of 40% or more. To be a part of future polls, you can text FARM to 833-413-2175 to sign up. SIAT North and Central America President Ryan Lothan has a lot on his mind heading into 2024, including rising interest rates and fuel costs. And one thing he's betting on is tax-related ag equipment purchases from growers in the last 2 months of this year, in spite of a lack of farmer optimism. In an interview at this year's Farm Progress Show, Lothan said that come December, growers with a lot of cash in their pockets due to good crop prices will be faced with 2 options: pay Uncle Sam or spend some money.
So that's the other big, unknown, is there going to be a tax buy? I really think yes, because I think that they're going to have farmers with a lot of cash and low input cost, and therefore they don't want to get taxed. But that also, you look at the general pessimism is because, and you ask any farmer here, farmers are sending a lot of cash right now. They are. But that's generally because they're concerned about the economy, concerned about the future, concerned about everything. But I really think in my mind, them not wanting to pay excess taxes is going to override any pessimism. So I'm kind of hoping, and I tell my guys, yeah, you might have a slow harvest, but I really think your November, December sales are going to be high because people are going to look at harvest, go, I made a lot of money, I need to get rid of it.
Lothan also said he's optimistic the war in Ukraine will end in about 6 months, which he believes will lead to billions in aid arriving in Ukraine and trigger a wave of tractor purchases. For more on that, see my Farm Progress show coverage in the October-November issue of Farm Equipment. This data point is brought to you by the Ag Equipment Intelligence 2024 Executive Briefing. While some input costs like fertilizer and chemicals are expected to decline from 2023 to 2024, other expenses like seed, labor, machinery, and equipment, taxes, and insurance are expected to rise, according to a July 26 report from Northern Ag Network. Since 2020, the total costs paid by farmers to raise crops and care for livestock have increased by more than $100 billion, or 28%, to an all-time high of $460 billion this year. Based on USDA's current input cost projections and commodity price trends, several major field crops may experience marketing year average prices below break-even levels this year and possibly into 2024. As always, we welcome your feedback. You can send comments and story suggestions to bthorpe@lessermedia.com. For On the Record, I'm Ben Thorpe. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.